Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you this moment. We give you praise. We give you thanks. We give you all adoration for another opportunity that you have granted us this moment to hear from you as you exhort us from your word. We ask that you take charge, bless us, and do something spectacular in our lives as we go through your word this time again. Thank you for answering our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. We give thanks to God this moment for another opportunity. Another opportunity He has granted us to hear from Him again. We can't just be tired of hearing from Him, because every day He has something spectacular for us, and He does them. He carries them out by His word. So this moment, let us go into what He has for us again. We'll be reading from the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 11. I will be reading some few verses from there to just exhort us even this moment. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will take absolute control and God will bless us in Jesus' name. Now, I'm going to be speaking on the danger of being at ease using the case study of King David, the danger of living at ease. There are so many things that can happen to a man when he begins to live at ease. I want to look at this familiar account of David's life at ease, as he was at ease in those days of his leadership in the land of Israel. Chapter 11, verse 1 of the book of 2 Samuel says, "And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide, that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the room he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, 'Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned unto her house." And the woman conceived and sent and told David, and said, I am no child. And David sent to Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down into the house, unto his house, David said unto Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down unto thy house? And Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into my house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. I will stop there for this talk of today. Well, we know this story very well. It's a very, very familiar story, which is an account of how David slept with the wife of Uriah. And we know how David finally brought about the death of Uriah, the husband of the woman he slept with. We know about all of that. How David finally even went ahead and married the woman by name Bathsheba. Now, we are only going to pick some few things from that passage, study it a bit, speak about it a bit within this short space of time, in order for us to take caution in our lives, so that we will not live life of ease. Life of ease wherever we find ourselves. And I know that God will help us in Jesus' name. Now look at what the Bible says. You see, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and so on and so forth. Now, what are we looking at here? That David came to a point when there was a particular season that kings were involved. They were engaged in war. Kings were going out to war. But King David, instead of going out to war, was in his house and sent Joab and the other soldiers of Israel to go and fight. Now, in order to go into discussing very properly this matter, I want us to, first of all, take note of what happened. The accounts given in the previous chapter of the book, of this book of 2 Samuel, and that is chapter 10. In that chapter, if you read very well, you will discover that David was having a lot of victory. So some nations came against the Syrians, the Ammonites, these several set of people. They came and tried to fight against him, against Israel, under him. But in all this, he was able to prevail. And he conquered them. And the Bible says there was a time. Let's read there so that we'll have a closer understanding, a better understanding. That the Syrians came to fight in order to help the world. The Ammonites. But David still prevailed. The armies of David, the soldier, the, I mean, the armies of Israel prevailed against these nations. The Bible says in verse 18 of the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 10, that, and the Syrians fled before Israel, and David slew the men of 700 chariots of the Syrians, and 40,000 horsemen and smote Shabak, the captain of the host, who died there. And when all the lords, all the kings that were servants to Hadarizah saw that they were smitten before Israel, they made peace with Israel and served them. So the Syrians feared to help the children of Ammon anymore. So you discover that the fear of David came upon the Syrians. The Ammonites were defeated under him. So David was conquering and conquering. He was a conqueror, powerful conqueror. And at that point, when he was conquering and defeating all of them, the Bible says, even the Syrians, they calmed down and could refuse to help the Ammonites anymore. Praise the Lord. So David began to have rest from war. David was now a conqueror that nations were afraid of. And then suddenly, something happened. That was not the time that war ended in his life. Let me say to you that when God begin to grant you victory. When God begin to grant you success, and so on and so forth, be very careful. Be very careful, because success comes along with it the temptation of living at ease. Victory in itself have the temptation, if you are not very, very vigilant, the temptation of living at ease can come. When victory comes, when success comes, when breakthrough comes, it comes with it. If you are not vigilant, it comes with it, with the temptation of what? a temptation of living at ease. Let me say to you, that may you not begin to live at ease here on the surface of the earth. Of course, the peace of God should continue to live inside you. But that peace of God does not mean ease in life. And you understand what I'm saying? The peace that God can even give you over your enemy, that peace is not a guarantee for you to begin to live at ease. Peace of mind is not synonymous to ease in life. Did you hear me? Peace of mind is not synonymous to ease in life. Of course, God gives you peace, but He is not saying that my peace is to give you ease. We are not saying that you should not take things. You should not trust God. No. You should not believe in God. No. But be vigilant and beware of a life of ease. When you live at ease, you make it easy for the devil to get you as a prey. May you not be at ease to pray so that you will not become a prey. May you not be at ease in terms of commitment to God and your relationship with God so that you will not become what? An easy prey in the hands of the devil. Now, may your time of ease not lead to the season of your peace in the first place. You know, when you live at ease, if you don't take time, it will take away the peace of God inside you. The reason is because it has that capacity of driving you into where you don't belong. May that not be your portion in Jesus' name. May you not cease in your relationship with God at the sudden arrival of ease in your life. When God begin to grant you help, let me say to you, may you not cease in the place of your devotion. May you not begin to slack down in your commitment to God, in your devotion, in your communion, in the several things you have been doing as a person with God. May you not begin to slack because you have entered a life of ease. Look at David. When kings were going out to war, in his own case, his ease made him to send people to go and fight for him, for the land that he was leading. He was to be in the battlefront, but he sent people. Was he looking too big already? He was too comfortable. Believe that, no problem. Even if he's not there, no problem. But I want to say to you, a life of ease is it can be tempting. No wonder the word of God says in the book of Amos chapter 6 verse 1, woe unto them that live at ease in Zion. So there is no time to live at ease on the surface of the earth as a child of God. You continue to be sober, to be vigilant, because the devil, our adversary, is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, let's go to what the Bible says about David. From that verse 1. In verse 1, he said that the people went forth to battle. And then the Bible says, they went, they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. You know, the Ammonites, the Syrians have already hands off from helping the Ammonites. So this time around, it's like since the Syrians were no longer coming to help the Ammonites, so the Ammonites were now on their own. So it was not a matter of maybe two nations fighting against Israel. David now was at ease. It's like since it is only Ammon now, no problem. You know, these Syrians were very tough. But since it's only Ammon, no problem. Joab, go and do that with these people. I want to tell you, don't underrate anything. Face everything, especially that comes from the enemy. Face it squarely and handle it with utmost vigilance and seriousness. If God does not tell you to do certain things, to relax over certain things, never you. David decided to relax. But he suffered it. Now, let's go to this and continue from there. The Bible says, that immediately that thing happened in verse 2. See, and it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman. Now, this is the issue. Looking at what we are talking about, this man in the evening. In the evening, something happened. He was on his bed. May God help us in Jesus' name. The Bible says that he arose. Arose from his bed. Where were the Israelites at that time fighting? In Rabbah, they besieged Rabbah. Rabbah of the Ammonites was under the siege of Israel. But David was tarrying in Jerusalem. And the Bible says, David arose. Now, I want us to look at something very carefully. So, what are we talking about? David was remaining there. Doing what? Who gave him the right to stay behind while others went to war? Now, let me even read it from another. Let me read, before I talk more on verse 2, let me read it. Let me read verse 1 again in another version. Let me read the Bible in basic English in verse 1, so that I'll just point out one thing and then we'll continue to discuss verse 2. You see, now in the spring, at the time when kings go out to war, David sent Joab and so on and so forth. Now, what was this time that we're talking about? The Bible here say here, what the King James Version say, that after the year has expired, after that time has expired, this particular version of the Bible says that it was in the spring when kings go to war. What's the implication? We know the time which is called, the season which is called the spring. The spring, which is supposed to take place between March, April, May, thereabout. And of course, that is when in a year, the spring is the period from which rain begins to fall in the year. Gradually, rain begins to fall, somehow gradually, and in the time of the spring. You have just ended the dry season and you are entering the rainy season during the spring period. Now, may God help us in Jesus' name. Now, you see, what implication do I want to put from here? I mean, to derive from here. That the time when after David has defeated, now the whole thing, things happened and that period has passed. And then there was a period called the spring, based on this version. When rain, the time that rain starts falling. Let me say to you. May you not begin to fail at the time when another season is springing up in your life in Jesus' name. Don't lose your connection to the source at the time of the inception of another rainy season. May you not have ceased when rain comes. May you survive through dry times unto rainy days. You may not understand what I've said, so did you hear very well? Rain was coming in the air. But as the time of the rain came, as the spring came, as the spring period came, David was already entering his moment of disconnection from God. I pray that at the time when the rain of God's blessing, when the rain of God's revival is about falling, is already coming down, may you not have ceased in your relationship with God. May your connection with God not cease when rain begins to fall. When you are entering the time of a fresh rain, when God is bringing about a fresh season of revival, a fresh season of the rain of his power, the rain of his revival, may you not have ceased, may you not have been disconnected from the source at this time of rain again in the name of Jesus. May the rain of revival meet you in survival. May you survive until the rain of revival meets you. May you maintain your relationship with God until the inception of another rain of revival. May your survival enter into revival. May you survive the presence of God. May you survive the presence of may you survive in your relationship with God. May you survive in your fellowship with God. May you survive in your communion with God. May you survive in your study of the word. May you survive in the place of concrete fellowship and relationship with God. May you not fall out until there is another fresh rain of revival. May revival meet you while we are seriously surviving very well in the spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Your relationship with God will not die off while revival is coming up. May your survival be sustained until a fresh rain of revival meets you in the name of Jesus Christ. You will not die at revival. You will not die even after you have performed at the time of previous rain. May another spring, may another rain meet you in good condition in the name of Jesus Christ. There are some people, God has used them, they have been in good condition with God, but at a point they now become too experienced with God and become people that live in at ease. They are not too careful anymore. And so when God is about doing a new thing, they will no longer be available. They would have drifted off. Oh, great man, but no longer useful at the time of a fresh rain of revival. May another rain meet you in good condition. May another rain meet you while you are still in order. May you order your life to live in order until rain. You will never be out of course when another rain, another spring of revival comes up in the name of Jesus Christ. May you be a spring that is connected to the source on constant basis, without missing out in another spring. But that is just what I wanted to bring out from that other version. And the Bible says in verse 2 that in the evening David arose from his bed. What was he doing on his bed? While others were sleeping in the bush, were sleeping under trees, were sleeping on rocks, probably on mountain or in valleys here and there. But he was on his bed. Bed of ease. Bed of seeming accomplishment. Bed that is a time, a bed of rest at the time of work. Man of God, child of God, have you not climbed a bed of rest in a season like this, which is a season of work? Now maybe you have remembered the big things that God has used you to do before, and you have climbed a bed instead of going to work. Instead of being on your knees, you have climbed your bed. And you know, on that bed, anything can happen. And I discovered, do you see King David? When he climbed the bed, the Bible said he got up in the evening tide. This bed, he got up from the bed in the evening time. Meaning that he was lying down on the bed in the daytime, at the time when the sun was bright, everywhere was bright, and people were busy at work, David was lying on his bed, resting at the time of work, resting while other people were busy. No wonder many things entered into him. No wonder the devil was busy working on him, because he was on the bed at the time of work. Listen, the position that you keep yourself determines what happens to you in the hands of the opposition. The way you handle yourself while the enemy is into a particular business determines what even happens to you. The Bible says that David got up on his bed. When? In the evening. The evening when the sun was going down. May you not get up and enter into your night. You know, evening, once it was, when the time that David got up from his bed, it was not in the morning. He got up from his bed to enter a night. Evening is what? Before what? Night. He was, any time you put yourself into a state of rest while God is not asked, while you are supposed to be busy for God. Child of God, have you not given yourself rest? Unnecessary rest. You are so lazy now in prayer. You are so lazy now in your commitment to God. You are lazy now in your work of God. You are lazy now in studying. You are even lazy as a man of God in reading books, in reading the word of God, in studying the word of God, in your fasting and prayer and so on and so forth. You are so lazy now. If you are in that state, let me ask you. The time you get up, the time you think you have arisen, you only arise to enter your evening, to enter your night. May you not enter night. May your rest at all time be the rest in the correct time. Of course, there are times you can go out, do certain things, come back and rest. But when you rest and even sleep, you're waking up. You are waking up fresh into another morning with God. You didn't understand what I'm saying? When you sleep, even when you are sleeping physically, in the daytime, in the afternoon, maybe to rest, maybe about a few minutes or so, maybe 30 minutes or 1 hour or thereabout. When you wake up in another morning with God. Don't wake up opening your eyes only to enter an evening, to enter a night of darkness and gloom over your life. No. Your waking up at any point in time will be to continue another morning with God. Whether you wake up in the morning, it is another morning. And let me tell you, waking up in the morning does not mean that everybody is in the morning with God. The fact that you sleep and wake up and everybody say, good morning to you. The question you ask yourself, yes, this is another morning in the physical, but is it another morning in the spiritual? In the spiritual. It is possible for a man to enter, for somebody to say to you, good morning, whereby with God it is in the night. You have woke up in a night. Night of darkness. Night that you lack fresh insight. Night of darkness. I mean, of night. Night of the cessation of your vision. May you not be waking up. After you have slept and slept, you wake up only to enter a night. I want to say to you, if you are vigilant with God, even when you sleep in the daytime, when you wake up, even if it is in the physical evening, in the natural evening, you still wake up in another morning for another move with God. May you be fresh every moment in the morning. May your resting be a rest to wake up in the morning. Hallelujah. I hope you understand my concept this moment. David woke up, got up from his bed, and it was already evening. It was already evening. And he was walking about. Where was he walking? He was walking on top of his roof, the roof of the king's house. Now, listen. This is where the matter becomes serious. Where was the man of God walking up on the roof of his house, of the king's house, the highest height? If the devil wants to deal with you, he will cause you to go high and view from a height. Remember what he did to Jesus? The Bible says he took him to a high mountain to show him the world. And this time David went to his roof and looking around. We will not have the time to discuss it very properly. But I pray you will not wake up to begin to walk upon a high place without. Sorry, upon a high place that gives you only the view of what is in the physical, while you have lost the view of what is going on in the spirit realm. David was highly placed. He was able to climb high on top of his roof. And that roof, something was happening in his life. What was David seeing that time? David was seeing so many things. His eyes opened. And as his eyes opened, he saw this woman bathing. The wife of Uriah was bathing. How did that one happen? Now listen. I want us to look at this matter very briefly before we pray this moment. What does the Bible say? As he was going, moving about, what was he doing? He was like observing his nation, observing his land. He was not moving about praying. He was moving about feeling at ease and feeling a man of fulfillment has come. Enjoying the land. Viewing the land. Wow! Instead of focusing on heaven. How I wish that you was walking on that roof and you was praying for the people that were even in the war front. But that was not the case. Yeah. He was moving and his eyes were down. His eyes were not up. I pray for you. May you not have an eye that can only look down. May you have an eye that looks up. He had an eye that could only look down what was happening in his land. But he had no eye that can look up to God. He lost an eye. When you are at ease, you lose your eye of insight. You only have a physical eye of physical eyesight. May you not lose your eye of insight and be left only with the eye that sees with the physical sight. We don't have the time again. But let's go ahead and look at the story. The Bible says, immediately he saw a woman taking bath. You know, the devil is an opportunity. He saw this woman bathing. And what did the Bible say? When he saw the woman, what is it? The danger of living at ease. One of the dangers is that you begin to see things that you are not supposed to see. You begin to view things that you are not supposed to even view. Your eyes will be open to issues that you are not supposed to even mind about. You begin to look at things that you are not supposed to look at. You begin to have a view over things that you are not permitted to even view. Look at this man. Because he lost his place, instead of going to war, instead of him viewing the enemies, he was viewing his personal. He was viewing based on what the enemy is showing him. He was viewing what his enemy was showing him. What does the Bible say? The man by name David, do you know what he did? He said, he looked and looked and saw the woman. Look at how the Bible puts it. He was looking at her. And the Bible says something. That the woman, may God help us in Jesus' name. You understand? He saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. She was very beautiful to do what? To look at. The question is this. Even if the woman was very beautiful, if David had gone to war, he would not have been a victim of looking at her. Well, that is not even the matter here. What was the woman doing when David was looking at her? The Bible says the woman was washing herself, bathing. Bathing over what? She has just ended. She has just finished her. It's like she has just finished her period of which she was yet in defilement. She was defiled because in Israel, the women were under defilement when they were in that period. But she had just finished her period and she was cleaning herself up. Oh, may God help us in Jesus' name. The king was looking at a woman who was in the process of purifying herself. The woman was in a state of self-purification. But that issue, that was the time when David saw her. Now listen. So when did David see this woman? He saw her at the time that she was busy in the process of doing what? Cleaning up herself, purifying herself. She was going to be out of that period of what? Of uncleanness. But the king who was outside the presence of God saw this woman, innocent woman, who would have been a pure person as far as the law of Israel was concerned. She became pure, but a man at ease brought her back, brought her into defilement. Because of his ease. The time that this woman was struggling in the place, was making herself to become clean in Israel, was the time the man of ease saw her. Why? Because she was living in the land and the man was on top of his wall, his house, the king's house. Now listen, child of God, the Lord might have raised you to a height that there are many people that are under you. And God, He has also given you the opportunity to be over them, to look at them, to look over them, to cause them to live in the fear of God. In fact, there have been people that God has brought into your custody so that you will help them to become what God wants them to become. Some of them are men, are males. Some of them are females, men, women. And God has brought them under your custody. But the question is this. Do you help them to become and to remain pure? Or you become an agent of defiling them back even when they struggle to be pure? Does your view of them, for example, Maybe a brother comes. And this brother is wealthy. And he has a problem and he comes to you as his leader, as his spiritual father or whatever. And he comes to you for counseling. Say, this is what happened. I went to a particular place. And I was just tempted to give bribe to somebody in order to get a particular contract. And because you are a man of God over him, and you are somebody who likes, who is so desirous of making big money. How much is it? You now ask him. Maybe you ask him, how much is the contract? Oh, he said the contract is in billions. So how much is it? Are you asked to give to the person? Because the person has not given the bribe, but he's looking for your consent. For your advice. What do you have to say about it? What is the bribe all about? It's just, it's say 50 million. Do you have the money? You say yes. And then you begin to twist some scriptures. You begin to tell the person some funny things. That you see, wisdom is profitable to the rich. That since he says that is what he's looking for. What did he say he's going to use it for? He said, no, that I should just give him and then he'll work out some things. You don't even want to care to go to any detail. And you know within yourself that this thing is bribe. You give it another name. And say to him, and you now encourage him with some funny scriptures. And then you encourage his brother to give bribe. Because when the money comes, you know the brother might have even promised that, you see, pastor, if this money comes, if it is true, I'll give you my tithe. And you know that your tithe is already running in hundreds of millions. You now compromise the word of God. A man that God has brought under you, instead of you to make him pure, to cause him to fear God the more, what do? You become an agent of defilement over his life. You will pay for it dearly. And is this you? Is it a man of God? That sisters, brothers, sisters are coming under you. And another one comes, and that one, you are so attracted to that one. And you begin to misbehave. This was the state of David. This woman was doing her bathing, was cleaning herself up innocently. But he never knew that there was a defiling eye over her. May your eyes not turn to become a defilement to others in the name of Jesus Christ. David was looking at her. She never knew that this was what was happening. But you know what? When this thing happened, the woman finished her period of cleansing herself and so on and so forth, purifying herself. And David sent for her. How did David do it? First of all, she came and began to make inquiry. Who is this? Who is so and so? That woman, so and so place. In so and so house, began to describe the place, describe the house, describe the woman, how she looks like, how she, the height. I can imagine David calling his servants, asking the servants, do you know this person? Who is this so and so person? How does this woman, she looks like this? I can imagine David describing the woman more, very accurately. Why was he very accurate in this describing the woman? Because she has seen the woman so deeply. I pray, servant of God, child of God, may you not be too deep in your observance of women and in your
servants
of the flesh. And some of you,
servant of God,
as a pastor or whatever, a woman comes close to you, and then you begin to observe the person from head to toe, everything. You cannot remove your eye. Something is wrong with you. Your eye is defiled, and your destiny is about receiving an undefined. I mean, your destiny will become undefined. I was looking at it. And I can imagine when she was describing, if you were one of the servants, sir, how did Oga today, how did our master today was able to describe this person? How comes? Why should it even be today? Why? Because on that day, he rose up to walk on top of his, building, of his roof, with his eyes on the ground, but his eyes were not on high. His eyes were looking down because he was at ease. His eyes were no longer looking up. When you are at ease, your eyes stop looking up and you start looking down. May you not start looking down instead of looking up. Look up to heaven. A man at ease looks downward, but a man who is not at ease, who is vigilant, he looks up. And then he asks his servant. His servants, go and bring her to me. Do you imagine that? We will not be able to continue from here because of our time. In the next talk, we'll continue this matter. There are serious issues, some few issues that are still coming up. That, you know, we read to verse 11. We have not reached. We are just in verse 2. We'll continue verse 11 in the next talk. I mean, down to verse 11 in the next talk. So that we can conclude the matter. But the issue here is this. When this man was looking, was describing this woman, what happened? The servants knew whom he was talking to. And they went. He said, go and bring her. None of the servants was there to even caution him. Any problem? I said, go and bring her. And you see what? Once God has raised you to a level, you come to a point that even in evil, you can send people and they will still obey you. Even some people under you will look at your evil as if you are still spiritual. That's the danger of having risen very high and then coming up to be at ease, coming down to be at ease. His servants were there to do what? To obey him, even at that time of backsliding. And they went. By the grace of, as they went, somehow, they were able to get the woman. I can imagine what will happen when they got to the woman. The king said, you should come. I can imagine the woman being shocked. What have I done? What is the problem? It's all well. But I want to tell you, when the woman was brought to the king, you can imagine the drama. Taken up to the roof of the woman. And the servants, they will leave her with the king. The king was not going to be with anybody. The king had the right to sit alone with her. She has the right to come close to her. The right in court. And nobody will question her. Can you see the danger of being exalted, of being at ease when you are being exalted? So everywhere was quiet. Everywhere was so conducive to help the king accomplish his what? His carnal desire. I can imagine the king looking at her. And I can imagine the woman beginning to think, what is happening here? Am I seeing properly? And he can see that this man, although he has risen high, he has not arisen beyond the morality. I pray, whatever will cause you to be at ease, that a particular issue in your life will cause you to fall down, may God deliver you from it in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to stop at this point, please. I will continue from here in the next talk because of our time. So, in the next talk, we'll continue what happened after all and how David handled the situation, so that we'll take caution in order not to live a life of ease. Father, we thank you for this moment. Grant us, O God, grace. As you have exhorted us, O God, grant us grace to live a careful life that is not a life of ease. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.